Good morning. This meeting of House Education Committee will come to order. Today is Monday, April 30th, 2018, and the time is 8:06 a.m. Members present are Vice Chair Representative Justin Parrish, Representative Dave Tallarico, Representative Ivy Sponholz, Representative Tiffany Zulkowski, and myself, Harriet Drummond. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, please silence your cell phones. Our recording secretary today is Lori Rowland, and Eileen Keim is our LIO moderator, assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. Today we will be hearing one bill, House Resolution 7, a House Education Committee resolution supporting a safe school environment. I would like to thank my fellow committee members for joining me in considering this important resolution. First up, we will have my staffer, George Ascott, will introduce the bill, followed by invited testimony and then public testimony. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the House Education Committee. For the record, my name is George Ascott, staff to Representative Harriet Drummond. Thank you for consideration of House Resolution 7, supporting a safe school environment. This resolution will help keep school safety at the forefront of education policy discussions. Children cannot protect themselves. It is a fundamental responsibility of our society to keep them safe, particularly when they have been entrusted to our care at school. In your committee packet, you will find numerous examples of the types of dangers we must try to anticipate and prepare to prevent or mitigate. There are also examples of quick thinking and great selflessness in defense of our children. On the morning of May 7, 2001, four children at Mountain View Elementary in Anchorage were stabbed by a man wielding a fillet knife. But swift action by a brave teacher, the Mountain View Volunteer Community Patrol, and a heroic sixth grader held the man off until he could be subdued by a massive response of the Anchorage Police Department, and all of the children survived. In 1998, a gifted boy who had been bullied at an Anchorage middle school attempted to take his own life and was left permanently brain damaged. But the lawyer who represented the family in court, Dennis Maloney, later spent $30,000 of his own money to host a nationally recognized anti-bullying conference in Anchorage. In 2015, in Newtok, school worker Harry Nevak was hailed as a hero after he disarmed an upset student carrying a rifle who was attempting to harm the school principal. And sometimes we don't hear much about positive circumstances, such as in the fall of 2015 at West High School, when Anchorage Police Department school resource officers were able to successfully de-escalate a situation in which an armed man was seeking to enter the school. Alaskans are ready to do their part to keep our children safe, but we must be vigilant and resourceful so we can identify potential problems and find solutions to them before tragedy happens. To that end, the House Education Committee has invited top education officials and members of the public from around the state to update us on their efforts to keep children safe and tell us how the legislature can continue to help. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Ascott. Appreciate it. First up, we have invited testimony, and I'm going to ask for Dr. Karen Gaborik first, as she has somewhere to be almost right away. Dr. Gaborik, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yes. Good morning. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and proceed with your testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Karen Gaborik. I'm superintendent in Fairbanks and also president of the Alaska Superintendent Association. I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'd like to thank Speaker Edgman for inviting the Alaska Council of School Administrators to participate in a public school safety roundtable that took place during our legislative fly-in recently in early April. It's my understanding that House Resolution Number 7 grew in part from that dialogue, and we very much appreciate the opportunity to participate in that. I appreciate the comprehensive approach put forth in this resolution. Security of facilities, community-wide prevention measures, training for district employees, and coordination with law enforcement are all critical to any effective school district safety plan. The legislative appropriation in 2014 for school safety upgrades for districts was critical for Fairbanks. We have used those funds to install cameras and to upgrade our communication systems across the district. Those funds paid for hardware and staffing to install and implement that hardware that we otherwise would likely have not been able to fund. Because of that legislative support, we have been able to systematically address specific gaps across our entire system. But other gaps continue to exist. In a challenging fiscal climate, limited resources are almost always prioritized to teacher staffing in order to keep class sizes as low as possible. While the ability of a teacher to nurture relationships with students is one way to create positive school culture and to enhance school safety, it is not the only answer. Teachers alone cannot meet all the social emotional needs of students today. We need counselors, nurses, school psychologists, and school resource officers. And all educators in our entire system need training in areas ranging from how to address adverse childhood experiences to how to respond in serious crisis situations. In Fairbanks, what would be most helpful is a facilities analysis that addresses school building needs. What resources are available and what would be most effective to secure all our school exits, for example? How do we ensure that the entrances to our schools are safe? In schools where the entrance is located in such a way that main office staff are unable to monitor that entrance, how do we ensure security for that school? It may be door buzzers and cameras and a formal check-in system. It may be additional staffing at school entrances. And in Fairbanks, every school administrator is asking for more cameras, both interior and exterior. We have been able to install a minimum level of security surveillance, but coverage is not complete. We also need to invest in training for our students. We must provide anti-harassment and anti-bullying training for all students in our district. Schools in Fairbanks attempt to get at this type of training with Title I funds at the elementary level, but it is not enough. With that limited funding, we can effectively reach about 9 of our elementary schools, but none of our middle schools or our high schools. We can't continue to rely on federal grants to train a small portion of our students. We need a systemic approach and adequate resources, and we have to focus on our secondary school age kids. We also need to invest in district-wide training in how to respond in an active killer situation. In partnership with our local law enforcement agencies, Fairbanks is moving forward with ALICE training. While we hope that an active killer situation will never happen in Fairbanks, it is a potential reality that our school community faced just a week ago. On Friday, the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer reported that on April 20th, the day of the nationwide anti-gun violence walkouts in which a few of our high schools participated, a high school student brought a gun and ammunition onto campus in his personal vehicle. The student's aunt called Alaska State Troopers to report that several guns were missing from her locked gun safe. She believed her nephew had taken them and that something bad would happen because of the events scheduled at school that day. Troopers responded and arrested the student to impound his vehicle. There are many things that keep a school superintendent up at night, and the safety of the children I serve is definitely one of them. It is especially stressful when you don't have the resources to do the job like you know it should be done. There are so many influences outside the 6 hours each day that we have students that educators cannot control. This resolution will help with policy and hopefully also give us the resources to address those things that are within our purview. I thank the House Education Committee for this resolution. I hope it will shine a spotlight on what is needed to proactively support safe school environments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gaborik. If you could please email your written testimony to my committee, house.education@akleg.gov. We would surely appreciate it. Any questions?
Thank you. I'd be happy to do that.
Any questions for Dr. Gaborik? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you very much, Dr. Gaborik. We will go on to Dina Beck online with us from Anchorage. Good morning, Dina. Are you with us?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you so much for allowing me this time this morning.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Dina Beck. I'm here today as the president of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, as the president of the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals, and as the principal of Northwood Elementary in Anchorage. As Dr. Gaborik mentioned, we really appreciate Speaker Edgman and his time during our recent pull-in to talk about school safety at the roundtable, which I know again, I realize Susan was here today, so thank you so much for that opportunity. Recently, I got to participate in the Anchorage School District's facility review, and some things came out of that review. That review was filled with people. We had principals, different administrators, members of the community, parents, and some of our students involved. And we realized that the things that were most important to us is to make sure that we do a thorough update of our school. That includes surveillance systems with cameras, looking at keyless lock systems, limiting to our points of entry, possibly looking at school renovations, including office relocations to the main entrance, and possibly perimeter fencing. The overarching thing that came out of that meeting was that we want to make sure that we balance making sure that schools are welcoming places, as well as to balance that with safety. We look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and those are things that are very important in order for learning to happen, for community members to feel welcome in our schools. We do not want our schools to be prisons. We also, in our facilities, the thing that came to me again and again was not so much the physical building, but also the need for help from within, from our school personnel. Earlier this month, I shared with some of you that currently, two-thirds of our incoming Alaskan kindergartners have experienced trauma in the categories of abuse, neglect, or household dysfunction. By the time our students enter middle school, 50% of them are survivors of trauma. Nationally, we have one school counselor to 482 students. Our students need consistent caring adults. We need to look at what can we do as a state to ensure that our students have opportunities to access counselors, social workers, and other mental health providers. We need to make sure that we build schools not just that are physically formidable against any outside risk, but are also internally supportive for students who are going through trauma in their lives. Thank you again for your time, for allowing us to speak about the needs of our students at this time.
Thank you very much, Dina. If you have written testimony, please email it to house.education@akledge.gov. I would appreciate it. Any questions?
Thank you so much.
Any questions for Ms. Beck? Representative Parrish, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And through the chair, thank you, Ms. Beck, for your testimony. I'd like to, you highlighted something at the end there, which I found interesting. If as a school administrator you had complete discretion how to spend, let's say, $300,000 a year, do you think that your students' lives would be made better and safer by putting it into hard investments such as fencing, more cameras, buzzer access doors, or into what I'd call more soft investments like a lower student-teacher, pupil-teacher ratio or an additional counselor?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Parrish, I am fortunate that I do have a school camera system currently at my school, and I'm also on a Title I school, so I do have some discretionary funds, not $300,000, but I actually do prioritize having a full-time counselor at my school with my Title I funds. I do get a 0.5 already, and then I fully fund it to a 0.5. And I was trying to do everything I could for next year in order to fully fund a social worker, and I just don't have enough funds to do that. What my students need are the people to make those connections when they come to school. So I would highly support lower class sizes. This year, during the first semester, I had up to and over 30 kids in my kindergarten through third grade classrooms. Fortunately, I was able to get funding to have an additional teacher second semester, so my class sizes have gone down to about 25, and that has made a huge difference for the lives of those students. They are more able to attend to learning because their needs are being met with those connections with adults. And again, I do fully fund my counselor, so I can have her available, and I would love to have a social worker to make those homeschool connections for my students.
Okay. Follow-up, Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Ms. Speck. I'm happy to hear that. Would you say that being able to reduce the pupil-teacher ratio and having the counselor is likely to have an impact on the long-term health of the students, perhaps even the, I would imagine down the line that if you're able to build resiliency better, it'd reduce the likelihood of suicide and the other traumas associated with ACEs. Would you agree with that?
Through the chair, yes. Actually, my school is now in the third year of rolling out trauma-informed practices, and just over the course of the data I have from the first year, I haven't fully looked at the most recent data. But from 2016 to 2017, the data I was received from my sixth graders is that the number of students who can name five or more adults at school who they felt personally connected to rose from 50% to 79%. That's a 29% increase in 1 year of making purposeful connections with our students from adults. So, yes, I do think it would make a huge difference because we know that as students feel more connected to people who care about them, they're more likely to succeed. You know, the number one thing that inoculates students against trauma and the adversity that they've experienced is one caring, consistent adult in their life.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Parrish. Thank you very much, Ms. Beck. That's very encouraging that when the focus goes on trauma-informed practices, that you see improvements in your student body. I appreciate that very much. All right. Any more questions for Ms. Beck? Okay. Thank you very much. We will move on to Daniel Walker, Superintendent, Lower Kuskokwim School District from Bethel. Are you on the phone with us, Mr. Walker?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing the testimony today. My name is Daniel Walker, and I'm the superintendent of the Lower Kuskokwim School District, headquartered in Bethel. LKSD knows as well as anyone in the state and as well as any school district the challenges of keeping our schools safe. From the 1997 school shooting at Bethel Regional High School to the attempted school shooting 2 years ago in Newtok, our teachers and staff are on the front line of this. For over 20 years, LKSD has employed an entire social work department. We have 10 master's level social workers that travel to our 27 schools in the Lower Kuskokwim region. These social workers are on the front line of issues such as suicide prevention and the mental well-being of our over 4,100 students. I know of no other school district that employs this number of social workers, and we are only able to touch the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the social, emotional well-being of the students in our region. Recently, we have had a strong focus on school climate and connectedness and expanding our tribal connections. I have said numerous times to my colleagues and the staff in LKSD that one of the most important things that the state could do to help increase student academic achievement is to evaluate and fully fund social and mental health services such as the Office of Children's Services and, probably most important, law enforcement in rural Alaska. Most of our communities have no one to turn to in the event of a crisis. Our principals and our teachers are definitely on the front line of that. Currently, we are continuing training for staff with new efforts to mitigate potential threats to our school. We're constantly adding and upgrading security cameras as a priority. Our coordination among other agencies in our region is incredibly important and is helpful when these crises take place. All of that is continually challenged by the lack of law enforcement resources in rural Alaska. I'm really happy and thankful for the resolution and shining a bright light on the issues of school safety. And thank you. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Walker. I believe there is a question or at least a comment for you from Representative Zulkowski.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to hear your voice. One quick question as a form of follow-up. You had mentioned that not having public safety officials sometimes exacerbates the school safety challenges in rural Alaska. Can you speak to, if you were to highlight the top priorities for making sure that rural schools are safe in the district, what those would be?
Yes, thank you for the question and through the chair. I think I would go back to, it's important, as we've heard in prior testimony, for every kid to have a connection with an adult that cares for them and is able to check on them. We do a lot of work in that area with our school climate and connectedness. We really emphasize the relationships that our school staff make with with students and parents in our communities. But I believe probably the number one thing that we could do as a state would be to fund the local law enforcement in our rural communities in particular. I simply cannot tell you the number of times that I have been on the phone with a principal trying to coach them through a situation where there is an active shooter in the community who may be intoxicated, may be walking around with a loaded firearm, may be shooting, and how they are having to, and may not even have a law enforcement person there to respond with that, and the pressure and the stress that that adds to the lives of our staff, our principals, our teachers, our classified staff, and most importantly, our kids. I believe that the social service agencies in rural Alaska are absolutely overwhelmed. They have so much intake that they can't address all of those needs, which puts the added burden on the schools to intervene in many of those. And so I guess my comment would be the law enforcement and social services, those are huge gaps right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions, any additional questions for Mr. Walker? Okay, seeing none, thank you, sir. Really appreciate your call today. We have Bobby Bolin, Superintendent, Bering Straits School District, on the phone with us from
Good
Yuma.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning, sir.
And House Rules Committee. For the record, my name is Bobby Bolin, Superintendent of the Bering Straits School District. And today I'm testifying in support of the House Resolution 7, supporting a safe school environment. The Bering Straits School District has approximately 1,900 students spread across 15 schools and 80,000 square miles. Although we've not had any serious incidents in recent history, school safety in Bush, Alaska faces some big challenges. Only 5 of our 15 remote communities currently have a VPSO. Only one of the 15 villages has access to Alaska State Troopers. Each day, our students, teachers, and staff go to work with no backup plan for professional assistance should a serious incident occur. We can only practice and drill for active shooters in dangerous situations so many times, but in the threat of a real-life emergency involving the safety and potential loss of life in our schools, there is no relief coming soon, depending on whether it could be days before law enforcement and medical care reach some of our villages. The Bering Straits School District has been actively participating in a grant program, CRESL, which stands for Culturally Relevant Education and Social-Emotional Learning, these last 2 years. This grant has allowed us to work to educate our students about having the ability to deal and work through the many challenges they bring with them to the doorsteps of our schools. Life outside the doors of our schools can be very challenging, and unless we can take care of the whole child, often learning comes to a halt. As with all schools across the country, the incidents of bullying unfortunately still occur in our schools. Our district has programs in place to report and address bullying, but unfortunately the definition of bullying and its effects on our children are still difficult to get across. What is teasing and what is bullying is a fight I still have, not only in communities, but unfortunately with staff also. Schools must develop ways and have support to raise awareness of when something is considered bullying and have the resources to educate everyone in our villages about the negative effects each could produce. I have spent all 10 years of my Alaska administrative experience in the Bering Strait School District. I've been in Savoonga, St. Michael, Unalakleet. I've traveled to all 15 sites. As superintendent, I've received a call that someone in the village is shooting a rifle and watched citizens go without law enforcement to try and stop it before someone gets hurt. We lock the doors and secure our outdated schools, hoping that the doors will hold and that we can keep all our students safe until law enforcement might be able to fly in from Nome or Unalakleet. I have received the calls from principals that a student has posted on Facebook that they are being bullied and don't want to be alive anymore. I've received the phone calls from principals that a student has committed suicide and listened to the blame game of whose fault it is. In reality, it's everyone's fault, it is everyone's challenge, and it's everyone's responsibility. In Bush, Alaska, we live with guns around us. It is a way of life, as locals use them to hunt every day in their subsistence way of life. It is not uncommon to see school-aged children with those guns in a variety of situations. For the most part, children have been raised to use those guns appropriately and for good. However, there's no picture in our head that could tell us something drastically could happen at any time. Every day we open the doors, the responsibility falls on all of us to provide our students with a safe, welcoming learning environment. There are no school resource officers in Bush, Alaska. There's no response team coming from down the street to assist in an emergency. There's only the students themselves, the teachers, and possibly a community member that happens to be in the right place at the right time. I ask this committee to consider the challenges of Bush, Alaska when considering options. Classes are already often without certified teachers. The ability to find a substitute is limited to non-existent. The answer is not across the street at the local service agency. It's not necessarily about another program being mandated to teach. It's about being able to help provide the resources to schools that are already overburdened to meet educational needs and the financial ability to provide a safe learning environment to all our community members. Thank you for your time, interest, and consideration in this matter. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowling, for calling in. Any questions for Mr. Bowling? Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. If you could email your written testimony to house.education@akleg.gov, I would appreciate it. And hold on, we have a question for you from Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Bolin, for your testimony. I certainly hear you on the lack of law enforcement. And I'd be interested in knowing what the largest threat, what tends to take the most lives of young people in your district. Anecdotally, I've heard that it tends for many places in Alaska to be suicide, and although that's not most of what's being addressed in this resolution, I wonder if you have any insight on what we could do to help with that.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. Through the chair, we are, suicide definitely is our number one killer of our youth in rural Bush, Alaska. Unfortunately, currently right now we have five open counselor positions. I've attended probably 15 job fairs across the country. We're obviously advertising on ATP. And we cannot get counselors, school counselors, applying and coming to our schools. So in reality, we have, one counselor that may serve two or three schools, which means they only get to service those students, every third week, every fourth week, again, depending on whether it could be longer. And that's just not enough time to provide all of the services necessary. So being able to come up with, and it's not necessarily a financial thing. It's just, we have the money right now to hire those positions, although, most of them are on grants, and as grants come and go, we lose those opportunities. But, it'd be nice to have a sustainable way to have counselors, in our schools, and most of our counselors end up taking their time with, the high school students, getting them ready for college and preparing them for other opportunities. And so our younger students, where the need is to get that early education about social-emotional learning and how to deal with their thoughts and feelings is critical. So definitely, you know, everything that we can do to provide that resource at the school level for our younger students is extremely important.
Hello?
Go ahead, Representative Parrish.
Thank you. What can we do to help?
You know, I hate to say it's funding, but again, it's looking at being able to, you know, help us recruit counselors, and have a way to sustain hiring them. You know, like I said, it doesn't do any good to have a grant that we apply for and we get the counselor hired. And, you know, unfortunately grants are used to kind of seed programs and we want to have, that continue on, but you know, in reality, with the funding that we have, we have to you know, make sure our teachers are in the classroom first. So funding for getting counselors that can provide social emotional suicide, bullying prevention type programs to our younger kids is most critical.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bolin. It seems to me that the University of Alaska should take note of this need and help to educate counselors to be a pipeline directly into our rural schools. Do you have any input on that or ideas in that regard?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. The school counseling programs would be critical, and we don't have one in the state of Alaska. We've talked with the new dean at UAA for the School of Education, Steve Atwater. You know, but in reality, the challenge is still how to get our graduates from any university system back into rural Alaska. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the conditions here are. You know, I've got villages that don't have running water still, and it's hard to convince kids that come out of college to leave their families and go to a village that's still without running water, still, you know, without reliable transportation should an emergency happen with their family. So, you know, the big picture is that there's a lot of, you know, challenges and roadblocks to getting our staff into Bush, Alaska, and I know that all across the state, that's a problem. But it doesn't help when we don't have a positive school counselor program, you know, within our state for kids to graduate from, and hopefully do and you know try to come back into the villages.
Okay, thank you. That's a very important piece of information. Thank you, sir, for your call today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you,
Chair.
Next up, I have Tim Parker on the phone from Anchorage. Tim, are you with us?
Hello, this is Tim Parker. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. Put your name and affiliation on the record, and please give us your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Chair Drummond. My name is Tim Parker. I'm the president of NEA Alaska and a high school English teacher from Fairbanks. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of H.R. 7. NEA Alaska definitely appreciates the focus on safety and increasing public discussion about this important issue. From an educator's perspective, we tend to learn a lot about this thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I know that the committee is somewhat familiar with that because last year when we were participating in the Alaska Education Challenge, those of you that were on the safety committee, this issue came up. Maslow's talks about making sure that students and anyone actually has what they need in order to be safe in multiple perspectives. And from an educator's standpoint, we know that we can't have learning without first addressing these safety needs. So we have to do the physical needs. We also have to address the psychological needs and the belonging and friendship needs. And so once those are addressed, then we can move to the learning that's in our standards, the learning that we care about trying to help students achieve. I'd also like to divide the school safety into two different forms. There's threats from outside the school, by people often without any connection to the school or very little connection, and we have to address those. And those are physical needs. They involve cameras and things like that, and some safety personnel. But there's also safety, the safety of our own children. It comes into play when we think about them, and I've heard some testimony to this, the students who live in situations where trauma is a daily situation. Their safety, the buildup of stress and the circumstances that are part of their lives are things that educators and specifically teachers see intimately almost every day, depending on your school site. You could see it every day. Educators care deeply about the students that we're charged with teaching. As Superintendent Kaborik noted, work really hard on those nurturing relationships. As a teacher myself, I know that I'm one person amongst many who can work with students on those needs. Other people in the schools, counselors, psychologists, nurses, even school safety officers, paraeducators, all have relationships with students. Unfortunately, those personnel have often been reduced during our funding challenges of the last five years. So we've seen a lot fewer of those particular adults in schools, and that is a real concern. It's something we need to keep our eye on because teachers do not have the ability to do everything that's needed for students in order for them to learn. We must address their psychological needs and their safety needs and their health needs, and that's just not necessarily a teacher's what we've done. I'm mentioning one more time the Alaska Education Challenge. You guys are familiar with that. We appreciate your continued support. Many of you served on that committee, the committees that met last summer and helped develop the three commitments. Of course, one of the three commitments is cultivate safety and well-being. All schools will be safe and nourish student well-being. All schools will be safe. That's what we're working on. That's what this resolution is talking about. And so we appreciate the ongoing discussion on the issues and your support for HR 7. Thank you very much, Chair Drummond.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Parker. Any questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you again. And we'll go on to Sean Arnold, Superintendent, Nome Public Schools. Are you on the phone with us, Mr. Arnold?
I am.
Yes. Good morning. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and give us your testimony.
Yes, thank you. For the record, my name is Sean Arnold, and I am the superintendent for Nome Public Schools. So first off, just thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I want to thank the sponsors and the support for this bill. And the testimony that I give, it is in support with my school board here from Nome. I'm in strong support of House Bill 7 as just one of the tools that will help keep our schools safe in this coming years. A little bit about my background, though. My first few years of life after college was in the United States military, both the Army and the Air Force. I was part of a hostage rescue team for a short while, but for many years I was part of a anti-terrorism response force. Part of elite teams that were assigned just on rapid deployment from Fort Richardson and Fort Carson, Colorado. I was very versed in safety procedures and very comfortable in a pretty stressful environment. That doesn't really kind of play out within our schools today. Our focus is instruction. It's not thoughts of violence or anything that may happen to our school. Kids are, of course, impressionable, young, are precious commodities, and, their thoughts shouldn't be if they're going to be harmed. Their thoughts should be on instruction. Having a safe place is really, the number one thing we have to do and we're responsible for. My teachers, my principals, they're not trained to counteract any kind of violence that may occur. This is where we rely on those resources that are made available, making our jobs easier to keep our schools safe. not just like, I guess they call it the hard, soft targets, the physical properties such as like installing cameras, security keys into to the buildings, but also like the supports that our local law enforcement agencies can provide. Some of the things there that this bill looks to resolve, I strongly am in support of, that includes the first response training that we can provide our educators. Part of it provides a peace of mind, but also it allows, you know, for the worst case scenario if it ever happens. The one that kind of takes place around the state is the ALICE training. Unfortunately, out of the districts that have testified today, we're one of the smallest and also probably the least funded. The ALICE training there, it's usually kind of a blanket cost of about $10,000 for a small district like that. Like ours here at Nome, we don't have that ability to kind of find the funds. We would have to cut some sort of instructional training just to provide the funds for the ALICE first responder training. And so that's kind of a concern. We do what we can with the resources, free resources, consulting the state troopers or our local police department. But that's an area too. It's kind of the training other districts get to adopt, but just because of lack of funds, we're not able to. The areas of mental health and support services, we're really fortunate to have a community where we have an amazing hospital that not just serves Nome, but the Bering Straits region. And they have a large behavioral health office. This office, though, has been overwhelmed there in recent years, where when we had incidents, there's students who can't get the help that we can provide within our schools. We want to kind of work to make referrals with the support of the family to the agency that's better served to kind of treat their needs. Not something that, you know, a math teacher or a reading teacher can really fully do. We're not psychologists, and just like we're not police officers, and we can't meet those needs. Unfortunately, too, just the nature of funding and lack of staffing, our behavioral health services locally are overwhelmed, and we're getting fewer and fewer opportunities to get our students referred, which puts more stress there on our schools. The counselor positions is like Dr. Boland had brought up previously from BSSD. We see something very similar. We have, as our budget has shrunk in the schools, we've only had three counselors, but just because our funding, we usually cannot keep one of those counselor positions filled, not because of lack of staff, but just lack of funds. This is an impact because usually the counselors are our first proactive line of defense, providing social-emotional learning supports, and that's one that we always struggle with. And just one of those areas that if it's outside of the core instruction, we're not able to deliver it fully. The school safety measures, again, it's that emergency planning. The funds for a small district like ours, they're just very limited, and we kind of struggle to do whatever we can. We have increased that the last few years, but as we see a rise of students there who are going from more disengaged to disruptive, there is an increasing concern from staff that, you know, we're not doing enough. And so, you know, school safety is always on the front lines or on the priority for our district. And any support from the state for resources, better ideas, will just kind of go that little bit further. And just kind of my quick input there from Nome, and I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to, you know, provide some testimony, and I'm just really support House Bill 7.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I have a question for you from Representative Parrish. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And through the Chair, Mr. Arnold, Would it help keep your students safer in the long term, both from violence, bullying, and suicide, and a number of other things, if school funding were to keep up with inflation?
It would. I think it would personally, because we wouldn't have to kind of reallocate, you know, funds from the, I like to call it the peripheral cuts, not those direct cuts from the classrooms teaching reading, writing, and math, but the support specialists such as counselors, aides that might be able to work with students more one-on-one. And so, yes, you know, money is not always the answer and kind of response, but just as we kind of shrunk, this is the area that we've had to maintain cuts, because partly if we haven't had any serious, like for us, we haven't had any serious safety incidents. We've had several minor ones, but nothing serious. And so when we look at those cuts, it's like, well, we haven't put the efforts into it because it may not have happened, or it may not happen, and almost like hoping, because when it does happen and we don't have those supports available, it's not going to be good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parrish, and thank you, Mr. Arnold, very much. Any more questions for Mr. Arnold? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, sir. I'm going to go on to call on Carrie Boyd from the Koyukuk School District. Are you with us?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair,
yes,
members of the community. My name is Carrie Boyd, superintendent of the Yukon Koyukuk School District. Been here about 10 years, 11 years now as superintendent. Our school district covers 70,000 square miles with 10 rural remote schools. All of them fly in except for two. I am testifying in support of HR 7, and I want to thank you again for this resolution, just highlighting the need for school safety. Over the years, I have, just like Dr. Boland, experienced many different occasions where there has been school safety concerns, and many of them are in the community that aren't even, that impact the students when they get to school. In YKSD, we have two guidance counselors, and I'm highlighting the word guidance. We have been advertising for additional counselors for a year and a half to no avail. We've had some, and they leave mid-year. We finally just hired another one, so we'll have three for next year. We're pretty excited. But those three counselors will be traveling to all 10 sites. In between, we also use video conferencing to help with our needs, and we partner as best as we can with the local agencies. But they're also overburdened with mental health and other issues. We need social workers, and we need clinical counselors to deal with the trauma that is happening. We also have little to no law enforcement, much as what you've heard. The VPSO, they will sometimes come as a reaction. Very few of our villages even have one, and they don't see them for months. As we update our schools through major maintenance, we are adding in cameras throughout the schools, but in our schools, we haven't really had any instances. I can think of maybe four times in the last 10 years where we've had to have a lockdown. Most of the problems are happening before the students come to school. And part of that is because there's just not proper training in the communities, there's not proper law enforcement, there's not proper social services and mental health and positive lifestyles training. So I just want to thank you again for anything that you can do and your support, and we will work on our end. I'm looking forward to the meetings with Commissioner Johnson that he has scheduled to talk about this topic as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Boyd. I heard you say that you do video counseling. Is that correct? And where is the counselor that does the video counseling, and I assume they can reach. Can they reach all of your schools? Do you have the do you have the technology that allows you to do that?
Yes, thank you. We have excellent technology in our district. We've been pretty fortunate with that. We do. We are limited to the 10 megabits, but it's been pretty good. Depending on where our counselors, for example, right now it's snowing in our villages, and one of them is having to stay extra, and so that they can counsel using our video technology from any classroom. We have everyone is set up with that ability, so you can have private individual counseling where needed, no matter where you are in the district. It's just that sometimes you need that in person. The kids need that. But it has helped. We've been utilizing this for several years now, and we've had good feedback on it.
Okay, that's great to hear. I know that video video is not the answer to everything, but it's better than no counseling at all.
That's right.
Representative Parrish has a question for you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Ms. Boyd, for your testimony. So when you use the video counseling option, and I recall one of our prior testifiers, Mr. Bolin, also had the had a lack of counselors. Do you ever contract the services of counselors outside of your region or in a hub community?
We actually have done that. We've tried to our best that we can do is partner with like TCC and the local agencies there. We've done some contracting outside. A lot of the counseling that the kids need, I would say, is above and beyond what a traditional school counselor would offer. I think it's more of social work and more social emotional counseling. Our counselors are trained as best as we can have them trained for the ones that have stayed with us long enough to receive that. So maybe we could do more of that, but that's what we're doing right now.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Boyd, for your call.
Thank you.
Next up, I have Dan Karstens on the phone with us from Nikiski. Are you with us, Dan?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
All right, great. Put your name and affiliation on the record and go ahead and give us your testimony.
All right, my name is Dan Karstens. I'm a first-off principal here at Nikiski Middle High School and also the president of the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals. And before I start, I just really like to thank Speaker Edgman for inviting our Alaska Council of School Administrators at our roundtable discussion at our recent legislative fly-in. I appreciate him listening to all of us and really trying to work with us to find solutions for school safety. I do think, one of the big things here is that the mental health support that we do need, it needs to come from all levels. And I do believe that if we do focus it on an elementary level, where children go through all sorts of adverse childhood experiences, also known as ACEs. It's very important to provide the support at that age. And that way, we can really, what happens is you're going to reap the benefits of doing, of starting it there rather than trying to react to it at a secondary level. One of the big things that we do for our district here on the Kenai is we contract with some outside services, and they provide counseling within our school. So we do have a school counselor here, but we don't necessarily have as many as we may need. Sometimes our school counselors, they have to worry about schedules, they have to worry about college and career readiness for our students, and so they get torn in so many different ways, and so they don't always they're not always able to provide the social emotional needs that every student needs. Or if they do, then something else gets dropped, and we got to pick that up somewhere else. So I did hear another person testifying about it's not always about money and everything, and it is very difficult to find school counselors. The last time I hired a student counselor, I think I had three people apply for the position. So it's not an easy position to fill, but it's a very important position to fill. So that's another thing that we do need to look at is our, you know, our educator shortage and everything too. So at any rate, thank you again very much for putting this to the forefront. It's something that's on all of our minds, but again, it's something that we need to address in a preventative way, not a reactive way. So thank you all very much.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Carsons. Representative Parrish has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And thank you, Mr. Carsons. I do appreciate your testimony, and I am also sensitive to the difficulty of attracting and retaining qualified professionals. What is there we could do to help you with that?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, there's always the retire, rehire bill. There's always quality personnel that, you know, that gets out of, that retires from education. And, you know, if there's a position that we can hire them back to, that would be great. Maybe even provide avenues for maybe some of our social emotional type counselors into the schools. Those are some of the main things, because I think one of the things that we do more than anything is provide the counselors that know school real well, but may not, you know, be able to completely focus on the SEL type needs that our students have.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? All right. Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Carstens, for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I am now going to move into the room. We have Dr. Lisa Parody present who wishes to testify. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Lisa Skiles Parody. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, representing superintendents, elementary and secondary principals, school business officials, and other school administrators. And I want to first thank the committee for bringing the resolution and thank Speaker Edgman for working with the Alaska Council of School Administrators. You've heard our members on bringing this resolution forward during our fly-in. You spent two hours with our group really just talking about the needs of schools, and really appreciate him initiating that and moderating that discussion. I also want to thank Commissioner Johnson through the Education Challenge, which I know many of you were involved with, all of you, I believe. The Commissioner Johnson really put a focus on improving the safety and well-being of our students through partnerships, families, communities, tribes, and I think you're hearing that as part of this overall theme as well, and hopefully we'll continue to be able to develop that as we go forward with the Education Challenge. In our roundtable, we had a couple of themes emerge, and I thought that just might be useful for you to hear. And those themes were secure facilities, and the need to do an external audit of school facilities or a gap analysis of what is needed to ensure our public school facilities are safe. I know that the Department of Education and Early Development are looking at ways to do that. Prevention, which I think you've heard from our members this morning, is just so key, an investment in social-emotional needs of all Alaska students in the form of school counselors, nurses, mental health support, all of the things that we've heard testified to today. Training, another really important piece, ensuring that every educator has access to appropriate training and that every student has access to appropriate training. There was also a tremendous amount of discussion about strengthening regional and community partnerships, and as well, as was mentioned, working with the University of Alaska, the College of Education, to make sure that our pre-service, training for teachers is inclusive of these items as well. We then had a follow-up discussion with Speaker Edgman and Representative Zolkowski and Commissioner Johnson to really talk about what next steps could be in terms of moving forward with some of these needs. And I think that is in some ways where we are today in terms of bringing the resolution forward. Clearly, there are financial needs that would accompany some of these items. And I think it was our hope that our districts could share with you and lay the groundwork for a potential request around public school safety. And I would be happy to entertain any questions. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Representative Parrish, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Dr. Parody, as always. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
I'm going to use one of my old questions again. Does flat funding have any effect on the safety of our children?
Madam Chairman, Representative Parrish, clearly flat funding over time results in cuts to these service professionals, these professionals who come in terms of nurses and counseling, who may not be in the classroom, are, I think, in some ways are the areas in which they get cut first, because all districts are trying to focus on protecting instruction in the classroom. And I want to also say that I think safety is first and foremost for every educator. Our student safety, they own that. Every single educator is about taking care of our students. And so I think having said that, as districts have experienced cuts, some of these school counselors, nurses, mental health professionals have been as a result of that. So the answer is yes. Obviously, we need full funding, adequate funding to support these positions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. Thank you very much, Ms. Parody.
Thank you.
Any further questions? All right. Thank you. I have Todd Brocious on the list. Mr. Brocious, were you going to make provide some testimony or just available for questions? Okay. Thank you. All right. Is there I'm now going to open public testimony on H.R. 7. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on this resolution? Okay, seeing none. There is no one on the phone that I can see, so I will now close testimony. In terms of further discussion on this resolution from committee members, let me take an anise just for a moment. We are back on the record. I'm going to open testimony again. Santa Eford, Deputy Commissioner, wishes to talk with us. Thank you. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Chair Drummond and members of the committee. Thank you so much for the time this morning to testify on House Resolution 7, School Safety. As you know, because all of you sitting here participated in Alaska's Education Challenge, and this was a top priority of Alaskans as we worked together to identify recommendations around safety and well-being of our students. So I am excited to see that the resolution, and the department, of course, supports the efforts around this. The one thing that we are excited to see that it encompasses three different areas: the physical safety of the schools that our students are in, also the training for our teachers and other school personnel, and the support of other staffing that needs to happen to support our students with the school, not just counselors, but nurses and other mental health clinicians. So again, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and the focus it brings on the safety of our students, which is, of course, a top priority for the administration and for the Department of Education. And we would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Evert. Apparently, you have to put your name and affiliation on the record.
I'm so sorry.
For the recording.
Forgive me. For the record, my name is Santa Eifer, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Eifer? Okay, seeing none, thank you for weighing in. All right. In terms of, okay, I'm going to take a quick at ease. Okay, I'm very pleased with the testimony that we had today, my goal is to move this bill out today. Can I get a motion, please?
I move version H.R. 7, version 30-LS1605/J from Education Committee with attached zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. Seeing no objection, the resolution passes. I'm going to take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork, and actually we'll do that after we adjourn. Before we adjourn, I'd like to thank everyone for your support during this session. This appears to be the last meeting of the House Education Committee, at some point I would like to gather us all for a final photo when everybody is back in the building. So we have our committee recorded for posterity. All right, thank you very much. With that, we are adjourned at 9:14 a.m. Thank you.